Welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast, powered by Coach's Edge. Coach, I'm your host, Steve Kramer of Kramer Basketball and Coach's Edge. I'm excited to chat a little bit about defense for the teams that are still in the tournament, right? The state tournament. I think that you're going to be able to look at some of the things that I'm breaking down in this short episode and ask yourself, are we doing these things? Are we keeping things simple? And are we, you know, back to basics with the main, keeping the main things, the main things. As you get into March Madness and all the scouting and strengths and weaknesses of different opponents and specific players, it's easy for us to, in anything in life, to be able to get away from the main things. And so I hope that this quick hitter episode will remind you of some of those main things. Before we get into that, a lot of teams are done with the state tournament right now. And it's, you know, a few teams I wanted to shout out who had just phenomenal seasons and great careers as well. Delphus Jefferson, boy, I think you guys made it to the Sweet 16. The Linemans retiring after this year, 20 plus years in coaching. As a married couple, I'm hoping to get them on the podcast. They've been Coach's Edge members for a few years, and just the things that they have done over their career at Delphus Jefferson in Ohio has been tremendous. And, you know, I appreciate you guys allowing me to serve you with Coach's Edge during these past few years of you coaching. And, you know, I certainly don't consider myself an expert by any means. So I'm just happy that you found value in Coach's Edge. Coach. A couple of our members up in Michigan, Division II is tough this year. So we had a lot of really good quality district championship level teams and Coach's Edge that didn't end up winning a district. You know, I think of Frankenmuth, I think of Yale, I think of Croswell, Lexington, all three teams lost in a district championship game. And, you know, depending on the district they're in, they were district champion level. Also Coach Stroh, Charlevoix, heck of a season with Charlevoix basketball, exceeded expectations for how successful that season was. So props to you. Props to Carvers Bay girls basketball. Made it to the Elite Eight this year. I know you guys wanted to go farther. You know, I know you wanted to go farther, but anytime you can make it to the final eight teams in the state and lose to a perennial powerhouse, I mean, there's no shame in that. So props to Coach Kingsbury and there's many other teams. I could talk about Mountain Home girls basketball in Arkansas and many others, but the reason I wanted to share that was because only one team wins it all. Only one team wins it all. And as exciting as this time of year is, there's so much pain involved. Most teams are hurt and not celebrating. And, you know, with each win, there's excitement that builds and there's fewer and fewer teams remaining. And it's just a very, very exciting time. But man, there's a lot of pain when it's over, and that's okay. And I want to let you know that it's good to hurt, because it means that you care and it means that you've invested a ton of effort and time and sacrifice into the season, into your life, and everything that's involved with this great game of basketball, and the sacrifices on your end and your family's end and the time. And there's so many things that go into having a successful basketball team and season and culture and program that when it's over, it's just like, there's pain, man. There's pain. I feel it for our Coach's Edge membership teams who, you know, I'm pulling for them, I'm rooting for them, and I'm following it. You know, they end up losing. It's like, man, that hurts. And it's a fun journey along the way, but you know, you don't have to keep it in. You don't have to hold it all to yourself. I would encourage you, like, if you're hurting, man, talk to somebody else who's hurting in this time, because, you know, coaches understand the give, and you give and you give and you give. And it sometimes it feels like you got nothing left to give, and you still give. And then it's over. And, you know, so just have some of those conversations, because man, it's no fun to lose. It sucks when you put that time and energy and that care into something and then it's over. But it doesn't mean it wasn't worth it. It was. And so thank you to all of our coaches for the great things that you do. So before we get into that, we're talking defense in this episode. And my hope is that I can bring you back. I have a cool document. I have some different documents on the desktop of my computer. And one is labeled defense tips. I have another one that's like ball screen reads. And every once in a while, if I learn something new or I hear something, I just go into this Word doc and I just type it up. And I'll put it in there. And sometimes if I'm not around, I'll put it on my phone, and then I'll come back home and I'll put it on my. So I have this growing list of just details about different aspects of the game that I think are really, really important. And I put into this document. And I wanted to share a couple on ball and off ball defense that can be, you know, beneficial for you. When it comes to on ball defense, I think that, first and foremost, what's the standard for your team defensively? What does that look like? And if you're still alive in the tournament, maybe it's time for a reminder. What are the standards that you set for your team defensively? What does Pioneer girls basketball defense look like, as an example, right? Do your girls would they be able to state that back to you? What does your defense look like? And then from there, what are some specifics that we want to do on ball and off ball? So let's talk on ball. First, I'm going to go down this list. Number one, are we staying in front? Two, are we able to dictate where the ball handler is going? Three, are you able to put them in an uncomfortable position? There's a lot of people that pick up. There's a lot of people that maybe can kind of guide the offense into a certain location, which is good. But at the same time, the ball handler isn't necessarily concerned about the on-ball defender. Can they be concerned about the defender? That's big. Four, are you taking away their main strength? Five, are you not taking any chances on defense, any uncharacteristic, risky chances? You always think of my main man, Jeff Carlson, Hope College basketball, does a great job coaching in Zealand right now. And he's got to be one of the greatest defensive players in Hope College history. And I had the chance to play with him for three of those years. And, you know, if you were to look up the stats, he probably didn't even average a steal a game, didn't average a block a game. How was he such a great defender? Because he always played sound defense. He never took chances, right? And so that meant he wasn't going to get as many steals as he probably could have had. But he always stayed in front. If it was dictating to a side, he would dictate to a side. He was in your grill, making you uncomfortable. He was trying to take away your biggest strength. He didn't take chances. And then number six, what was the scouting report on the individual and as a team? And he was trying to carry that out. And that's what made him, in my mind, the best perimeter defensive player that, you know, I had the chance to play with when I was in college. And I tried to take some of that with me, especially by like my junior year when he was still a senior, and then into my senior year of college, like really just upping my level of focus and intensity on the defensive end. And a lot of that I learned from Jeff. So a couple other things that I want to ask you with defense, and do you and your kids know these things defensively? What does like the base stance look like throughout on ball, one pass away, and help side? What's the position that we want to be in? What's the angle of our feet? What's the position of our hands? Do your kids know these? Two, and we talked about staying in front. Where's the pickup point? Do you generally pick up at half court, three quarter court, you know, 40, like a third of the court? All right. Where is that pickup point? And how do you pick up in transition? You know, what's the main goal of the on ball defensive player? I think those are important questions for us to ask. And I think for a team, great on ball defenders know that they have help on the back end. So they're not afraid to get beat. They're willing to really get out and bother the on-ball, the ball handler, because they say, you know, I'm not afraid to get beat. I'm going to work my tail off to recover, whatever that looks like. And I know I got help behind me. And so that allows them to be an even better defensive player. Let's talk a little off-ball. defensive position. Again, let's call this a quick commercial. CoachesEdge.coach, this spring, right, we're redoing a bunch of our individual player development videos. So we have hundreds, like 300 plus videos at CoachesEdge.coach. And I've already started. We've already taken out like 8 first step videos, and we put one kind of in a nutshell video on just like the first step. And so we're breaking down ball handling piece by piece. We're doing a new shooting breakdown that as we record this, we're recording this week. Like we're taking a deep dive back into individual player development. We're recording a bunch of new drills and teaching points. And some of these are more drill based, but the value of CoachesEdge.coach, and especially where we're going this spring with the recordings that we have, are like teaching the game, breaking down the game, right? It's not like do this drill or do this move in our Coach's Edge membership. It's the teaching points of like position and footwork, right? And a ball in hand time and angles and reading the defense and talking about those things within our videos and demonstrating those things. That, I mean, that's the stuff you just don't get very often. And that's what we're bringing to you with CoachesEdge.coach this spring, and what I think are new and improved videos, which I'm very excited to share. And we upgraded a little bit of the video equipment as well. So some of the videos on there were good, but we're making them better with some of the upgraded video resources that we have. All right, commercial break over. Off-ball defensive tips. I'm going to run through this list of 7. Are you positionally correct? Touched on that already. What's the position? What's the stance? Do your players know where they need to be? Not only physically positioned, but their position on the court. Number 2, what's the communication that needs to be used? And I'm being specific. I don't want people just talking and making noise. What are the specific terms and what's the terminology that you have when you play off-ball defense? Are we all on the same page there? Number 3, do we have active feet, right? We don't want to be stiff. We don't want to be plodding defensively. You know, I'm a huge advocate for jumping rope. And I've talked in past episodes about the benefits of jumping rope and how that can make you light on your feet. Man, jump a little bit of rope before practice, before games. It's going to go a long way. Number 4, don't play the blame game. Don't play the blame game. Great teams don't play the blame game. It's not, oh, that wasn't my man. No, we got scored on, not you. We got scored on, right? And so that's an attitude, that's a mentality that for the great defensive teams, I don't need me to mention that. But if that's not you, that's a great reminder. You didn't get scored on. We got scored on, right? How can we fix that? Number 5, the scouting report again. Can we start to see plays and actions before they happen? You know, that comes from the coach on down and the players really being locked in to the scouting report, and the players, especially if you're still in this point in the season, the teams are only getting better as you make your run through March. So it's very important that you pay attention to the scouting report. Number 6, man, this one is, we're lacking this one with a lot of the games that I see, and I watch a lot of games this winter, as you guys know. Can we be more physical off the ball as far as bumping cutters, bumping screeners? Be physical off the ball. Be physical off the ball. I can't emphasize that enough. Don't just let people walk where they want to walk, cut where they want to cut. You don't just need to make contact on a defensive rebound on a box out. Like if somebody's moving, chuck them, okay? My daughter in youth basketball had, for some reason, I don't know where she got this, but she got called for a foul during a game, like her first foul during the season. And she, like, they had, you know, if you get called for a foul, what happens? The game stops, the ref points at you, they say that you fouled somebody, and then they have to go back out of bounds and throw the basketball in. And so she was extremely embarrassed. She's like, we're playing. All of a sudden the game stops and the referee's looking at me and he blah, blah, blah. And so she became like scared to foul. And I was like, you got 5, use them, right? If you go a game and don't commit a foul, right, you're not being aggressive enough. right? And as you get older, man, if you're a primary ball handler, I want to charge every single game. That tells me you're being aggressive, right? I want you to get a foul for bumping somebody every single game, because most of them, they're not going to call those, and they're not going to call the majority of them anyway. Get multiple fouls throughout the course of the game, right? Be physical, bump cutters. And number seven, and this kind of goes into the last one that we just mentioned, but ask yourself, would you want to play against you? And coach, ask you this as a team. With how you play defensively, would you want to play against you? And I hope that answer is no, I wouldn't want to play against us, because we're that tough. We're that smart. We're that together. And if you can do like really those three things as a team, you're really tough. You're really smart with the scouting report and the players that you're playing against. And then you're together, you're one. That in a nutshell is going to allow you to become a great, great defensive team. And I want to make this quick because I can go keep going down my document and touch on other things as far as screening and understanding your ball screen defense in a lot of ways is going to help shape your defense as a whole. So that's really important for you to touch on, especially as you get to teams that are, very good with ball screen actions and playing like a ball screen or reading it and then getting into isolation, playing mismatches, whatever that might be. That's probably another episode. But I want to thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. I want to thank you for being a coach. Thank you for making a positive impact in the lives of others. Keep up the great work. It's like the Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility, and sometimes comes great pain, right? As far as you invest so much and then you lose those games, and those seniors move on. And I have that from the training standpoint. Is there's players that we work with for years and years, and then they graduate and then they go on to college. And even if they do play college basketball, it's not like I'm working with them all the time, right? They might be in another state, right? I might only see them a couple times of the year now. I deal with that now, and it's tough. So like there's just some pain and some hurt there, but it comes from a good place, and it comes from great relationships that have been built over the years of time and sacrifice. And so props to you for the great work that you're doing. Keep it up. If there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. Contact at kramerbasketball.com. And if you enjoy this podcast, share it out with somebody. Thanks for listening. Get after it today.